You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Although many of you will be familiar with Dagmara Domenchik's work as an actress, she's appeared on TV in The Good Wife, Suits, 24 and other shows, in movies including Higher Ground, Kinsey, and The Count of Monte Cristo, and earlier this year on Broadway in Golden Boy. Miss Domenchik is here today to talk about her debut novel called The Lullaby of Polish Girls. It's the story of three young Polish women who become friends as children, then go their separate ways, but are reunited as adults because of a murder. It's published by Spiegel & Grau, which is an imprint of Random House, and I'm very pleased that it brings her to our show today. Hello.
Hello. First of all, I have to tell you, you say my name so beautifully.
Oh,
anytime anyone pronounces it correctly, my heart just grows a little bit.
One reviewer called you a natural-born storyteller. Do you think of yourself as a storyteller?
I do. I do. I think I always have. I always loved stories. It's how I learned to speak English, by reading. I came here when I was 7. My parents were 29 and 30. No one spoke a word of English. So I turned to books, not TV, really. And I started writing little stories as soon as I got a grasp of the language. And I was kept a journal since I was 10. I was always writing. I wanted to be a teacher, a poet, or words were everything to me. So I think somehow I translated my love of telling stories on the page to telling stories on the stage, as it were. So yes, it's a huge part of who I am, chronicling things, writing things down.
Well, a lot of actors make up backstories for their
right.
characters.
Yes.
Create characters way beyond what's on the page.
Right.
I'm assuming you do that as well. But it's one thing to write little stories. It's another thing to write a novel.
I know.
many try, only a few succeed. Did you enjoy the writing process here?
I loved it. It's a very deeply personal book to me. I mean, you know, most first-time novelists, I think, just from being an avid reader, turn to that write what you know.
Semi-autobiographical.
Yes. So
there's a little bit of you in
this.
There's
a little bit of me. Yes, there's a little bit of me, and there's a lot of my memory of Poland, which is a very... kind of where I grew up in the summers, and anywhere. I was just talking outside to someone about summers and how it's such a visceral sense memory kind of a season where you just innately go back in time and remember yourself as a youth. And for me, that was always Poland. So there's a lot
of Polish summer similar to New York summers?
Not the Polish summers I spent. No, not. And also, you know, this is the title, The Polish Girls. I have to say that my Polish girls, the characters in this book, are different than the Polish girls in Greenpoint or the Polish girls in Warsaw. Even the Polish girls in Kielce, my hometown, are different from the Polish girls in the neighborhood that I grew up in, that my grandmother's from, that my parents are from. So, yes, my summers were very different.
Your book begins in 2002 and then shifts back and forth in time and between Poland and New York. And it also shifts between the stories of the three characters. Was it challenging for you to keep track of what was happening to who and
Not
when?
Not really. You know, I wrote it as is. Like and loathe this word, organically came out this way, where I would go back and forth in time and things would reveal themselves in one section and reveal themselves a little bit more further down the line. And it's just kind of how I wrote. I always thought, though, that when I wrote a novel, I would write it in first person. I'm an actress, so character study's been what I've done all my life, and putting myself in other people's shoes and all of that. So I thought, of course, when I write, I will write I. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. I ended up writing right away in third person. And I think that's because these particular characters, I kind of knew that you could get to know them to a certain extent. And I had to kind of remove myself from keeping it so personal. And a way to do that was to do the third person.
How much did you know before you started?
Well, the character of Anna, and she's the one that ends up emigrating to the United States.
And she's the one who's closest to
you. She's the one that's
you.
Closest to me,
She
yes.
becomes an actress as well.
Yes, there's a lot of, coincidence? I don't know. So she's closest to me. So, and then every summer I spent from when I was 12 to 22, my mother would and my father would work all year. We come from a very blue-collar family. My dad was in solidarity, but his life here was spent being a cab driver, superintendent, a janitor, things like that. They would work all year to send us to Poland. And I grew up in this really blue-collar, kind of hardscrabble neighborhood in Kielce, Poland. And I got to know all these kids, and we would just kind of come of age together.
Where's Kielce?
Kielce is kind of south-central Poland. It's about 2 hours south of Warsaw, an hour north of Krakow. It's kind of 200,000 population.
But far from Gdańsk, which was the center of Solidarity.
Far, far. It's also worlds away. Even though it's very close to Warsaw, very close to Krakow, it's not nearly as cosmopolitan or, you know, of a city. It's just kind of a town, a small town in Poland.
Anna says she feels split between New York and Poland, but when she's a teenager, she seems to feel more at home in Poland than she does in New York.
Yes. Anna did, and Dag did too, a little bit. But you know what it was? I think in hindsight, what it was that for a while it worked out great because I never felt American enough here, meaning I felt a little different. My last name, just for starters, growing up. Nobody could pronounce it. So many consonants, so little vowels. So I never really quite felt American. I grew up in a house where we spoke Polish. We ate Polish food. We went to Greenpoint every weekend to fill up on our sausage and all that. But when I went to high school, performing arts high school, people liked that about me. They liked kind of this exotic, oh, who's this Polish girl? And then in Poland, I never felt Polish enough either because here I came from this place where back in the late 80s, early 90s, America was still kind of something you saw on TV and that's it.
And
so
Anna's
it made me feel special. You know what I mean? When you're growing up, anything that makes you feel special is good when you're 13, 14.
Well, Anna's friends in Poland are envious of her. They think she has an easier life and more money than they do.
Yes.
They fantasize an American, yes. A special American situation. She's coming from a blue-collar situation.
Yes, yes. So they're also, I think, envious without articulating it, the possibilities she has, you know, the American dreams she can aspire to. And Anna, what she is envious about the kids in Poland is that they represent her roots, her memory, her past. And that's what was the same with me growing up, you know.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Anna. When she makes it as an actress, she continues to struggle with her love life nonetheless, and also with her weight. Does she find it difficult to stay as thin as her agent wants her to stay?
Yes. She does. I think Anna is she's a kind of very sentimental, romantic person. So studying theater and being a theater actor for years, she went to theater college, theater university. It was something noble. And then you get out into the real world and people are telling you, your nose is too big, or your waist is too wide. And it's just kind of the bubble is burst that acting is far more than understanding the craft. It's going on a diet. And she can't quite, you know, marry the two ideas.
My guest is Dagmara Dominczyk.
Say it again.
Her novel is The Lullaby of Polish Girls. One of the other characters, Kamila, also struggles with her weight as a teenager in Poland. Are the pressures on young women to be thin and beautiful the same in Poland as they are in the United States?
I think, I guess it depends on what you want to do with your life. And a lot of these kids in Kielce, you know, I think I'd rather say Kielce than Poland because it's like saying America, but you mean New York or, you know what I mean? I think when you're 13, 14 and you're coming of age, it's a lot tougher for girls wherever you are. I do believe that. Anna felt it more palpably because to some extent her career and her dreams were balanced on her physique.
Well, and Kamila has a different kind of problem.
Kamila has a different kind of a problem. She's just insecure.
And she also marries a man who is unsure of his own sexual orientation.
Yes.
That can be a problem.
Yes.
Why did she marry him when the problem seems so obvious?
Well, you know, it seems so obvious maybe to the reader or to us, but not to her. And I have to say that, you know, small town in Poland, to this day kind of, you will have a hard time being openly gay. And there's a lot of people who cloak that, who try to escape that, hide that. And so to Kamila, her best friend, her love, the love of her life, Emil, he was just old-fashioned, romantic, hard to get. The possibility of him being gay wasn't even an issue, I don't think, in her mind. not, of course, Anna immediately knew it. That's also growing up in a place like New York, which is full of so many, which is, you could feel the diversity.
She's also an actress.
Yes, that's right.
Of the three young women, it's Justina who seems to be the most sure of herself. She hates school but enjoys life, and she marries young, has a baby. And then it's the murder of her husband that brings the women together.
Yes.
I don't want to give away too much of the plot.
Well, you know, on page five, you find out about this event, so it's not too much of a plot reveal. You find out about it almost immediately. Yes, her husband gets killed by her sister's boyfriend in their own home. And she suddenly finds herself a 25-year-old widow with a 7-year-old son to take care of, having no education, no money, and trying to make a life for herself.
You mentioned that your father was in Solidarity. You were only 5 years old in 1981 when the Polish police burst into your house in the middle of the night and dragged him off to prison?
Yes.
How well do you remember that night? You were very young.
I remember it so well. There's my memories of when I left Poland. I left when I was 6 and a half, are like kind of tattered footage. I have about like 5 little film reels, and one of them is this night. I remember the door being knocked down. I remember my dad in his robe. I remember the militia upturning all the drawers and looking for papers, and they cuffed him. I remember my mother's nightgown, which was this blue polyester nightgown that went down to the floor with tiny little dark blue flowers, and she was holding my little sister, who was 1 at the time, in her arms, and we stood out by the window and saw my dad walking to this white van. It was snowing. I mean, my memory of it is very romantic.
Mm-hmm. And almost cinematic, it sounds.
Yes. I remember him visiting him in jail a number of times.
How long was he in prison?
He was in prison for 11 months.
And then when he came out, you decided to leave the country?
Well, it wasn't so simple.
How long before Solidarity wound up?
It was 89 when things, when 90.
So we're talking a long
yes,
time.
Yes, we're talking a long time. So at the time when the Polish Communist government decided to round up all these kind of heavy hitters that worked for Wałęsa to try to get things under control a little bit, you know, the pot was boiling. And so after many months, they offered some of these prisoners one-way passports out. Just get out. Like, it didn't really work having them in jail, but maybe it would work having them out of the country. So my father didn't want to do that, but my mother begged and pleaded.
Well, there was a good reason. Is it true that your grandfather was beaten to death by the Polish police?
Yes. We called them milicja, not policja, which is kind of a distinct thing. Yes, he was involved in kind of a riot waiting, and I think it was in front of a butcher's market. And he kind of started some trouble and was clubbed to death. And my father was 23 years old. He had to go identify him, and he changed his life around after that. Before that, he was kind of like he was a boxer. He was a ladies' man. He was extremely good-looking and just kind of a ne'er-do-well. And then he just completely changed his life around to fight for freedom. And so when I made the movie The Count of Monte Cristo, you know, the theme is revenge. Oh, my dad loved that.
Well, you came here, lived in public housing in Canarsie, and didn't you audition almost on a whim to get into LaGuardia High School Performing Arts?
I did. One of my friends was auditioning for the dance department. She wanted to do ballet, and everybody else was going on to Catholic high school. I didn't want to, and we couldn't afford to if you wanted to. So I said, sure, I'll audition. I can't dance or draw or sing. Let me go to the library and get a book on monologues. And I did, and I got in. And she didn't. The girl that auditioned with me did not, unfortunately, make it.
But then you have 2 sisters, Marika and Veronica, who have also become actresses.
Yes.
And then went to LaGuardia as well.
Veronica did. Marika did not. Marika thought she wanted to, but she didn't even memorize the monologue. First of all, she chose a monologue from A Raisin in the Sun that she read off a piece of loose leaf paper. So she didn't, I don't think she was ready for acting studies then, but Veronica did. And then they both became actresses.
And now you've all been compared to the Gabor sisters, although I don't know which one of the Gabor sisters you are. You're not Zsa Zsa, that's for sure.
You don't know me, Leonard.
Well, you wound up studying drama at Carnegie Mellon, and that's where you met your husband, Patrick Wilson?
I did.
You have a couple of young children. How old are they now?
Cal is 7, and Cassian will be 4 in about 2 weeks.
Is it difficult to raise children when the two of you have acting careers?
Well, yes, which is why my acting career kind of got put on the back burner by my own volition. And when I had my first son, Patrick's career was kind of on the rise, and we said we didn't want to be separated for the first couple of years. So I just kind of stopped acting, and I just became a mom, which is great, and that's what I did for 5 years, and then I missed it. I missed it a lot.
And he took the photo of you that's on the jacket cover.
Well,
so what are you, multi-artistic, the two of you?
Listen, here's this. Actually, he didn't take that photo of me in the back. Here's this is like a this is a big reveal here.
Anthony Weiner took that picture.
It would be a very different picture if Anthony Weiner took that picture. Let me tell you, I took my own picture. Yes, I did. It was like a, it was
you
a deadline.
Your husband. Too.
Yeah, I did. I credited him because I didn't want people to think I was the person who took her own photograph, because that's very vain.
There's some talk about creating a film based on this novel. Yes. Have the film rights been sold?
No, they have not been sold. There's been interest, outside interest, but you know, it's so personal to me, and I know how the film works, film world works. That right now, I'm going to keep my paws on it and
yeah, well,
maybe adapt it into a screenplay myself.
Because it could turn out to be something very different than
very
you've
different,
written.
And that
the only way to
me.
Do it is to become the director and also star as Anna.
Well, maybe if it was 15 years ago, maybe I could star as Anna's mother by the time it gets made.
Dagmara Dominczak's book, The Lullaby of Polish Girls, is published by Spiegel & Grau. Thank you so much for being on our
show.
Thank
you so much for having me on.